like, but clearly one side is just clearly worse. And like,
you're talking about
Russia and China and like that entire, and again,
you've got to be kidding me, right?
No, but
now,
let me explain.
Welcome to Our Thoughts Tonight. Join us as we chat in a mellow mood about music, philosophy, psychology, and anything else that will come to mind. Enjoy.
Our thoughts tonight. We are here. Ashik is here.
Hello.
Zach is here.
Yep.
And I'm your host in human form. Yeah, we've got a lot to unpack tonight. It's our first show back since the Chomsky interview.
Yes.
Yep. We're going to talk about the updates on the Russia invasion of Ukraine. And Glenn Greenwald tweeted our last podcast, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's funny.
How are you guys?
Yeah, I mean, not much to go. I mean, yeah, things are good.
You had like Boris hair right now.
I have Boris hair?
Yeah, for a second you did.
Who's Boris?
Yeah.
The British guy?
Johnson?
Yeah. Oh, Boris Johnson.
Yeah, he looks like a freak. Dude, he looks like a mushroom.
I mean, he's the British version of Trump, right?
The mushroom red hair.
He looks like Ed Sheeran.
Really? I mean, his hair does, I guess.
If Ed Sheeran was a politician.
Yeah, a troll. Like, yeah. Boris Johnson. You see those videos where like people go in front of his, you know, because how the British work, and you know how like they go in front of his house. He's like, before we get into the interview, would you like some tea and crumpets or whatever?
Oh, man. That's
he's like,
hilarious.
If you don't want any, I'll have some.
Yeah, I mean, he's a like, conservative, but like he's a pretty likable guy. Kind of like Bush and that.
This is off topic, but I don't really think he looks like Ed Sheeran. I think he looks more like a Muppet.
Yeah.
Like Beaker.
Yeah.
The poofy hair.
Yeah.
Like, you know he's part Turkish, right? He has Turkish ancestry.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's like confirmed. Like it's an actual
Boris
thing.
Boris Johnson.
Yeah, I think I don't remember the exact, I think it's like some merchant guy, but yeah, he has Turkish blood. Yeah, so before we get into Ukraine, as always, Crucem Sanctum.
We are back on Our Thoughts Tonight. Ashik is telling me that there might be some debates about the Ukraine situation.
Maybe. I mean, that's just a hunch. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, why like do you think views? That? I got to ask.
I don't know. I just...
You think we'll disagree?
I don't think we'll disagree. Maybe in like certain aspects. I mean, I can't really tell until we actually start talking about the Ukraine crisis, really. Mm-hmm. But where to begin, really? I mean, like, how about this? When did you find out about it? And what was your initial thought?
You're talking to me?
But both of you guys.
Oh.
I follow that Twitter account. Let me pull it up so I can give them credit.
Was that the same night? Or?
Oh, it's the ASB News/military.
Oh, okay.
They're a number one source of breaking military news and analyst on Russia, NATO, Middle East. Yeah, and they kind of, I can't remember what their tweet was, but it was pretty serious. And I was like, oh, it's popping off. Yeah. It started.
I think what I found out about it was through you.
Yeah, so we were here.
Yeah, it must have been at the same time.
Yeah, I started and I immediately turned on. First, we started watching like CBS, and then I checked out what RT had to say. And
yeah. Oh yeah, that's a touchy subject.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, it was that night, and then like I was like just chilling, and then I was like, let me just check out YouTube real quick, and then like I saw like a bunch of people like starting their live streams, like, oh, it's happening, you know, Vosh, mm-hmm. and then Progressive Voice, and I thought it was like a small like. Because I had seen videos of that earlier, and I thought it was like a one-off instance that people were blowing out. I was like, oh, something's happening.
Like a rerun?
Whatever. Huh?
Like a rerun of the same occurrence?
Kind of. I was like, okay. I thought it was like maybe like a single bombing.
Just or some shelling.
Or like something. And maybe not even. So I was like, oh, something's going off. Whatever. And like when I played fucking video games. And tomorrow, and the next morning, I'm like at work. I'm like, holy shit, it's fucking happening. And then like the entire next day, I was like, updates.
Yeah.
That night that it started, it was like 8 o'clock or it was like 6 o'clock or something. And I started noticing that the Chomsky video
started
boom, boom. Like the views were already significant.
Yeah. But
and then it started getting heavy traffic.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is really happening now. And then it became like a hot keyword. And next thing you know, like every news source is talking about it the next day, and now they're still talking about it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
As of this time, I just heard, to give context of where we are at now.
It's such a, you know.
It's been a week, and it says New York Times Evening Briefing says Russia seizes major Ukrainian city.
Yeah.
What was the name of that?
Oh, Kherson, right, I think.
Yeah, Russia seizes Kherson, a city of about 300,000 near the Black Sea.
Yeah.
It fell to Russian troops on the seventh day of Russian invasion. There is no Ukrainian army here, Kherson's mayor said.
That's so crazy.
They've officially taken that city.
Yeah.
It's just like a military camp.
It's probably occupied, yeah.
Yeah. That's I thought they already captured Mariupol, but it looks like it's surrounded. So yeah,
it was a real bloody there yesterday, last night.
That's crazy, man.
Likely, when people hear this, it'll be the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After they hear about the occupation there.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's
unfortunate.
Oh yeah, I mean. It was surprising, though, because I actually didn't think it would have happened.
Yeah, a lot of... I mean, even Chomsky in our interview said he didn't think it was going to happen, but he did acknowledge the fact that everyone was pushing over the last 30 years, ever since the fall of the Soviet Union, you know, since Clinton and Bush, Bush 2, they have been pushing, and, you know... And Trump was funding Ukraine, too. However, Biden seems like really, really been fueling that fire, so...
Yeah. Well, it's one of the situations where it's like a chicken and egg situation where it's like, it's exactly situations like this that a country like Ukraine would want to join NATO because of Russia's invasion. But at the same time, supposedly that is the same factor that would prompt Putin to react. It's like a chicken and egg situation where
it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. It's like if you're a country in that region, you want to join NATO because you're afraid of Russia, and Russia doesn't want you to join NATO because Russia feels threatened. So it's like this, I don't know, it's complicated because, like, if Ukraine did join NATO, would Russia have attacked? I don't think so. I mean, I would hope to God not. If Ukraine had joined NATO in the past.
Oh, yeah.
I think things would be different.
I don't think Russia.
Then they'd be crossing into NATO
territory. And again, I thought Russia wouldn't be insane enough to invade the Ukraine. So who knows? Maybe they would have been in a parallel universe. They might have been insane enough to invade NATO. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's just a chicken egg situation where it's like the NATO has been pushing, but like, I don't know. It's hard to say, I think.
What do you think of the media reaction?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's one of the situations where it's a little bit justified. Like, yeah, there is some, there's propaganda for sure.
Are you talking about reporting of what's going on over there, or like people's personal emotional opinions that are
I want to get into that, especially
like pushing it into something happening.
First off, I want to hear, like, between the corporate media, let's say like the CBS, the NBC and MSNBC, all of that, what's your opinion on that? And what's your opinion on like the massive Twitter response? Like, this is the first real legitimate war that has broken out with social media. There have been battles and stuff, but like this is the big mother. This is not taking into account wars like the war in Yemen and everything. I mean, war in the West.
I mean, I think that's an important point, though, is like this stuff has been
West
happening.
In quotes, I want to say.
I mean, it's a big deal, that's for sure. Like, I'm not saying it's not, but it's like, I think the mere fact that, like, you know, there's other wars going on that are more deadly and have been going on for longer.
But they're just not covered.
They're covered, but like, it's like they're not as like popular to talk about.
It's not,
I guess,
as
like
boasted as like. What's
well, of
going
course,
on.
It's not going to, because it's against the system.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you know, but even in like,
it's published, but not published to where everyone can.
But,
see
yeah,
it.
But even with Syria, I feel like it was. Well, I don't remember too much when it first started, but like, I think even with Syria, it wasn't like this, where it's like the entire world is talking about this right now, and it's like, I don't know, it's. I don't want to, you know, it's, but Ukraine's a European nation, and it, to be fair, it's in the context of a larger NATO Russia situation. So maybe in that sense, it is understandably
like the
justified.
Middlemen.
Yeah.
They're like right in between Russia and NATO.
Yeah. They're that buffer zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's so important, I think, to keep that neutrality is so important for both sides. And that's why it is a problem, obviously, because, you know, people are dipping their toes in, whether it's Russia in 2014 or Biden, you know, sending lethal aid and all of this. It's no longer neutral. Now they're at NATO and Russia are at each other's borders practically.
Yeah.
Well, they will be.
Well, they have been with borders with the Baltics for a while.
Obviously.
But like, at least, you know, now with this, there is no neutral zone at all.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's definitely
progress. You know, at least, you know, there was a border with the Baltics and Belarus was always on Russia's side, but at least there was a buffer zone with Ukraine and Georgia and stuff like that. But I mean,
it down the middle.
Yeah, right. And then obviously Ukraine's like historical position as like, you know, Kiev and all that, and all the, you know, all the natural resources that go alongside it, you know, obviously all the ethnic connections are important. So yeah, I mean, it's a big war to cover, and obviously it's the biggest war in Europe and since World War II. That's, you know, that's what they say. I don't know. I mean,
how do you feel about the backing, like this, like
of Ukraine?
Sudden. This one thing I've noticed is like the day after, the few days after following, you see Zelensky as Captain America, but yeah. Captain Ukraine. You see Zelensky, you know,
that's awesome.
Holding
the
a camera, saying all these, you know, things like, you know, we're battling.
This is the last time.
This might be the last time you see me. And
it's not wrong.
But the interesting thing about that is all the backing from the liberal Americans and the neoconservatives. Yeah. I that's something I find really strange.
Well, it's weird because like I am on the board of like, you know, fucking calling Zelensky, you know, I wouldn't say, I mean, I don't know. That's another thing. It's like, for example, you know, I the other day, you know, I heard someone making fun of Russia's claim that there were neo-Nazis in the Ukrainian military. Like, that's an actual thing. There are neo-Nazis in the Ukraine. Like, that's not a fucking joke. That's obviously not a reason to invade Ukraine.
No, it's not.
Zelensky's obviously not a neo-Nazi. You know,
that was a pretext, obviously. Yeah.
And Ukraine does have a very strong right-wing, at least as far as I know, atmosphere. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would still, you know, I still think I don't want to like be crude, but like the backing of Zelensky, at least in his social sphere. Yeah, I think it's a little bit like out of nowhere. People like are like all aboard Zelensky. Like they didn't know who he was a few weeks ago. But at the same time, I get it. You know, it's like this is happening and he is staying in Kiev and he is bolstering morale. If he's actually doing fighting or does he have just like combat gear on for propaganda? I don't know. Like,
well, that photo of him wearing the combat gear looking all like a stubby, like, you know, short, you know, cute guy or whatever that people have been saying about him. That was like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So it's pure propaganda.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it was created through the, you know, the Ukrainian state or not, I mean, there's a lot of like strange stuff coming about. It's like unnaturally abundant.
Well, I
this
think,
time.
But I think it's important because I think it does bolster morale. And I think that's an important case because this is so like, this is the thing that's going on right now. Like they kind of need, like, there was a whole like the ghost of Kiev thing, which is not real most likely, but it's important to keep it going for at least for morale's sake. So in that sense, propaganda, you know, I mean, for the people outside of Ukraine, probably not very helpful, but at least for people in Ukraine, if they're seeing this stuff, like I think that's kind of important. Even, I mean, it's lying, I suppose, but like, I mean, he is staying in Kiev, you know, and he's getting, you know, I don't think he's really walking around the streets. He's, you know, aren't like mercenaries like trying to kill him now or something?
Yeah,
so like,
he's public enemy number one.
Yeah, so like, I don't think he's out there with the shotgun that, you know, the foreign president is, but or prime minister or whatever. But I don't know. I still think like him being like a figure of morale is really important. I don't think that's so bad of a thing. At least within the context of within Ukraine. Outside of it, it's a little hypocritical.
It is a little more than a little hypocritical. It's absolutely absurd. I mean, Joe Biden literally opened the State of the Union talking about it. I mean, that's a serious thing. That's historical.
I mean, so maybe.
I'm not discounting the fact that, Ukraine is being invaded.
I'm not
supporting Russia's imperialist action. It's wrong. There's no justification for it. And absolutely, Ukraine should be defending themselves. But for Joe Biden to use that as political theater and all the liberal and neoconservative backing, it makes me a little suspicious about the support. You know, it's unnatural. So I just, I'm having trouble getting behind it because I just feel that there's a dishonesty behind it. From the propaganda aspect, not him defending, actually, not Zelensky defending his country or actually being out there, but from the propaganda point of view, it's just like, what consent is being manufactured right now?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely propaganda. I just feel like it's one of the situations where like I almost don't care about the propaganda.
Because I do think it's
people
like,
want answers and they want someone to tell them what's going on.
Yeah,
like, well, they need a face.
Well, yeah, but there's like, I mean, there is some framing stuff that I don't like.
You should care about it because it adds to the fog of war.
I mean,
you're going to, like, important. Let's say there is war crimes that take place on the part of Ukraine.
Yeah.
If you allow yourself to feed into that, you're going to have that fog on your judgment.
No, I mean, I'm not saying, though, like, I should have rephrased it. I'm not saying, like, don't be ignorant to the propaganda or anything like that. It's more like, at least for the time being, like, I guess I'd rather focus my mind on, like, what's going on, I suppose. But another way to phrase this is like, yeah, I mean, there are some like framing issues that I don't like. Like, there's a very vehement like anger towards like Russia right now, right?
Yeah, and yeah, like the Russian people.
Yeah, Russian. Yeah, and
but there's people protesting.
Yeah, and sometimes
against that.
Yeah, and some media, you know,
what's going on?
Yeah, and they do acknowledge that too. It's so certain, but like some of them don't. Like, but it also goes to like Russian soldiers as well. Like, because like they're just as you know. It's a fortune for
them
too.
Some of them don't even want to do it.
Yeah, some don't even know that it was going to happen. So like, the framing of like, I don't know, of like bolstering the deaths of Russian soldiers that I've seen a little bit here and there is like, that's a little too fucking much, at least for me.
Or on either side.
Or on either side.
Innocent Ukrainian people getting bombed.
Well, no one's celebrating that, but I'm saying like some celebrations of like Russian deaths
either,
as well.
Either death on either side, it's not good.
Yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of like Russian casualties, like a lot.
That's what I'm saying is like, I understand that they should absolutely be defending themselves. There's no question. They didn't want this.
Yeah.
At least as far as we know, not the people. The people absolutely didn't want this. Ukrainian government likely didn't want this.
Oh, of course.
They were, you know, being provoked from the West, America mainly, and also, you know, Russia has been provoking them for years. So they're kind of they're in the middle of a tug of war. But then, especially with Russia, like people in the United States are primed to dislike Russian people because of all the anti-communism through the years and years of the USSR and the Red Scares and the Cold War. So and now over the last 15 years, there's been that, you know, oh, Putin, he's a dictator, he's a madman, he's a, you know, he's all this and that.
Better
and
watch out. He's shadowy.
So, yeah. So there's all of that. And as soon as something like this happens, it's like, man, I saw some dark shit on Reddit. Like people saying, look at these this Russian ship, apparently, this is also potentially propaganda, so I don't know, but this Russian ship was unable to dock in Georgia, and they had nothing to do with the military or the Russian government. They were just like, you know, a container ship trying to take God knows what and dock, and they were low on fuel. And they're like, go fuck yourself, you know, turn around. Yeah. And people are like, yeah, send those Russians home. And it's like, these people are just doing a job.
Yeah,
just like if America was in this position, you know, and people were like, hey, I'll send those Americans back home.
Yeah.
Americans would be appalled at that.
Yeah,
but here they are supporting it. Yeah. And it's like, you know how many times the world could have said that about America or probably did, but it didn't fall on anybody's radar because the mainstream media won't be like, look, everybody's sending this message to Americans because of their imperialist actions here, imperialist action there, you know?
Yeah.
But when it's Russia, everyone's primed and ready for it.
Yeah, and just to clarify, this is not, you might have to go fuck yourself. This is not the whole Snake Island situation.
No, the Georgia one.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this was a different situation.
Yeah, because that was an actual like attack. Also there was a, there's still like a, at least with some like late night show stuff, like they're still like doing like communist themed like segments, like pretend like somehow Russia's still communist, like what the hell.
That about?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just like whatever, it's just like Red Scare stuff. But also like, yeah, also the whole thing with like the sanctions and everything, like, you know, Russian people right now are, you know, like they're struggling, you know, the what's it called, like, you know, their Google Pay, their app, you know, Apple Pays don't work and all this stuff. And you know, they're
did you see that frozen. One guy remember his channel name,
YouTube.
Oh, the Russian guy.
What is his channel,
the guy with the long hair? I was gonna watch one of these, but I haven't.
Russia versus sanctions, how they affect, it's a Russia versus sanctions, how they affect regular Russians, and it's NFKRZ is his YouTube name. I don't know his real name. I just started watching his channel this week, but he's like, I don't know what I guess Hassan was reacting to it.
I
haven't watched it yet. I'm excited to see his reaction. But I was watching, I was like, this guy is like, hey, you know, I'm not taking away from what the Ukrainians
are going through.
Yeah, what the Ukrainians are going through, but like, I can't cash anything. Like, I mean, I'm okay for now, but send me Bitcoin if you want. I don't know how I feel about it, if I feel that that's wrong or not, or at least, is it wrong that he's voicing that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those situations, like, I mean, because that's the thing. Like, I do want the West to help. You know, I don't want them. I don't want like a world war or anything. But like, if this is the best thing that, as of right now, the West can do, are heavy ass sanctions, which seems to be doing some effect. In general, I mean, it always did a Russian people too.
What's the next step, though? More sanctions?
I mean, it's gonna hurt. That's the thing. Whatever is gonna happen, it's gonna hurt innocent Russian.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna
no matter what you do.
Yeah. The rich Russian billionaries. Not gonna hurt them.
Well, I think it will affect them too. I'm just saying that, like,
not nearly to the level of starvation. Nearly,
but at least if it's gonna affect them enough to a point where it's gonna slow Russia down to at least a certain degree, then I don't know, whatever helps. Again, but obviously this is way better than World War III, where those same Russian people will die. So like,
from famine or something, like Ukrainians did back when.
No, I'm saying like, I mean, I think sanctions are a much healthier way to go about this than like putting troops into Ukraine.
Oh yeah, no,
I mean, you know, so I don't like, I don't oppose sanctions at all. I think this is probably the right thing to do.
No, yeah.
Totally. I just, it is sad though, and again, and the media coverage of it is unfortunate, and also, yeah, and also just like, you know, like there was that one video that came out of like the Russian farmer who would like, you know, the Russian tank, like, I don't know, he like ran out of fuel, right? He's like, I'll take you back to Russia, and like, I don't know, like that again, that Russian soldier doesn't really know what he's doing, you know. It's just like, I feel bad for the guy, if anything. Like, yeah, great, right, he'll go back to Russia, you know. And, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just like a little shitty. I don't know. All the you know, the detrimental talk about of Putin, that's all great, you know. He can go, you know, all the, you know, vehement attacks on him, that's fine. It's just the particular focus on Russian people sometimes, it kind of bothers me.
Because a huge portion of them are innocent bystanders too, and they don't have any control over anything that's happening. The government does.
Yeah.
And vice versa for Ukrainians. Civilians are the ones that are suffering on both sides. Yeah, whether they want to go to war. Or
always.
Their houses are being destroyed. They're running to, where are they running to?
Poland.
A lot of them
are
Poland.
Oh my gosh.
I almost said London. But Poland.
The Polish refugee situation is awful. Yeah, it's racist.
They don't know where to go or where their kids are going to sleep, and they're sleeping
well
outside.
Forget about that, at least they're getting in. They're turning like, so people are trying to be to become refugees in Poland from I believe India. They're not taking the Indian refugees in, they're taking the Ukrainians in, but they're like, no, you got to go back.
I think so, yeah, somehow with Nigeria too, where some Nigerians are being sent to Nigeria not into Poland.
Too much inflation of people.
Also because racism. They're racist. Yeah,
I mean, okay, again, this is also really important to clarify. Again,
that's fine.
Eastern Europe is incredibly conservative, like in general.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot, if you're going to consider, I mean, in fact, upper tier people in Russia are a little bit more liberal than even Ukrainians. I mean, that's like a very loose generalization, but like Poland, Hungary, Romania, these are like fucking, like Hungary's borderline with fucking fascist state. So like, yeah, these are incredibly racist people. It's a, you know, you kind of have to take their side in the situation, unfortunately, but not unfortunately, rightfully so, but it's unfortunate that they're racist.
That racism has been appearing on the mainstream news, and we should talk about that, but we should take a break real quick.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Glenn Greenwald as well when we get back.
Yeah, most definitely.
We'll be right back.
And we're back with our thoughts tonight.
All
right.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to quick. I know we were talking about the racism part. I had something to say, but I forgot. So let's go back to the racism part.
Yeah, the racism has been shining through on Al Jazeera.
Oh,
yeah. It's been coming through. I think it was CNN, not CNN. There was this reporter. I can't remember if it was. No. I'll have to find the clip, but it was one of the American corporate media services. And he was like, oh, yeah, well, this is a relatively, how do I say it, civilized, you know, a war. The people are civilized here, or they're European, you know, not like the uncivilized in the Middle East wars.
People.
And I'm like, are you serious right now?
Wow.
Like, and he was like trying to tiptoe around saying that, look, these people look like us.
Yeah.
I love it. But
that goes to the whole, like, you know, portrayal thing. Because again, like,
sounds like he's
clearly
just trying to save himself, but he's just making it worse. Like when someone says a comment, they're like, "Oh, I'm live on TV. I'm gonna that didn't work."
But this is the interesting. This is the thing, though, is like, for example, take the war in Syria. There was a moment where it was super publicized with ISIS, right? Because the bad guy were the brown people, you know, and
nice.
And the thing is, but there was like, and the focus on like the innocent, you know. The innocence, yes, it was there very much so. But if I remember correctly, like the framing of it, especially from the Republicans at the time, was like ISIS is targeting Christian minorities, which is true and it's terrible. But they kept saying that, and like they kept highlighting that point, which was interesting. They were like only caring about the Christian minorities being targeted. They were like,
disregarding any other information.
Yeah, I mean, they were
highlighting one specific.
Yeah, they weren't disregarding like the actual like majority Muslim.
I'm just saying favoring one subject over another.
Yeah, or at least highlighting it. I mean, again, they should be highlighted. I'm just saying that like it's just funny how it's framed. And obviously with this, you know, we have like Ukrainians who are white, and you know, this goes beyond the racism part, but like. In a way, and I don't want to say it's a silver lining, but like Russia, I think this kind of screws Russia over. Like Putin, any plans Putin had for the future, I think are done at this point. I mean, at least like, so, you know, geopolitically speaking, like Russia's done on a geopolitical background. You know, like it did have some leverage with the Syrian war. You know, it did help defeat ISIS, and then like Crimea kind of backed it down a little bit. It wasn't so terrible to like completely ruin their stuff. But even now, like, you know, when you got the Taliban going against you, and even when you got Iran, even Iran is like, you know, they're still on Russia's side, but they're still like,
they're like, why?
But they're like, you know, let's not do the war. Even, and I'm just looking right now, you know, China hasn't called it an invasion, but they were like, apparently, according to this, it is New York Times. Yeah. China asked Russia to delay the war until the Olympics, according to Western intelligence report, which is like, they're still supporting Russia's invasion, but like, they're at least, I don't know. I just think
can you hold off until the Olympics?
Yeah. I mean, I just think this is like completely screws Russia in the long term. Like, because what are they going to do if they are even successful? They get Ukraine. Okay, great.
Now what?
Yeah, now what? Like,
do you think they're going to, if they successfully capture Ukraine, do you think they'll go for the Baltic states, despite the fact that, you know, NATO is a part of it?
I don't think so.
If they do,
I don't know,
though,
at this point.
Hypothetically, if they do, then it's not going to be good at all.
I would think either Finland or Georgia, if I'm being honest, because they're not NATO states. So
they would just go wherever else.
NATO. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I think would be better, like Georgia or Finland. I don't know about Finland, but
like
Georgia probably.
If that happened, then it would just go to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Like we can't just, that's what a lot of people say too.
That's the thing is like,
you can't just sit by and do nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's also another thing is like, you can't be aggressive with
Russia. It's like, we're with them.
You kind of have to be.
We're just going
to
give them a high five as they're drowning in the water.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, yeah, you know, we're with you. High five, but we can't really help you.
It's also complicated because, like, I don't know. Because, again, I would have thought Russia wouldn't have done this because I thought it's a stupid move. It is a stupid move. I'm like, even on their strategy or whatever, at least from what I think.
I would just say Putin. I wouldn't even say Russia.
Yeah, Putin. Yeah, you're right.
How do you. Sorry, what were you
I was just saying that it's a stupid move. And I wouldn't have ever thought they would really do this. And maybe they would, you know. But, like, we're here saying, oh, they'll never invade NATO if they were successful in Ukraine. But, like, who knows at this point? Like, I don't know.
Everything's uncertain.
He's already done something fucking stupid in my view. So, I don't know.
What do you think of all the people in America and NATO that are warmongering, calling for a no-fly zone, as well as Zelensky calling for a no-fly zone? I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's aware, but... And I don't know how much people here in America and in Europe are aware. I know a lot of them, these are strategic analysts saying, like, you know, calling for a no-fly zone.
Yeah.
That is like bordering on, you know, hair trigger, a nuclear war.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember when, was it Clinton who was advocating for no-fly zone back in Syria? I don't know. But I remember when that was a whole conversation. Everyone was like, this is dumb. It's going to be World War III stuff. And now here now, yeah. I mean, look.
Well, now here we are.
As heroic, and I will say heroic to an extent that I think Zelensky is, at least for moral reasons. I mean, he has been, from what he said. I think that one. I think it wasn't during his 9-minute speech or whatever it was. But the guy wants like the U.S. to be more militaristic.
He does.
And like
we need your guys'
you know,
help.
And that's I understand his position, but I also think that's
you
that's
understand
not
his position.
I understand as like if he's a. I'm not saying I agree with him at all. If him and his state, I would understand why he would want the U.S. military to help. Again, it's a
why would he want that? Because he would be wiped out, well, and so would everybody else.
Yeah, I know. I mean, obviously,
he shouldn't want that. Regardless,
he shouldn't. But again, I at least I'm just saying, from his position, he wants more help, and to him, that's military help.
He's gotten so much
a lot
help.
Of weapons. I'm saying like straight up troops. You know, that's what he wants. And again, that's not the way to go at all. And a lot of people are like, still, like, whenever people are like, oh, the U.S. is not doing enough. I don't know, man. Like, the U.S. is, I think they're pretty much nearing what they can do without
border. Yeah.
Without
bordering
going to
on actual
III.
War. They've done everything they can.
I mean, these
almost.
Are heavy ass sanctions. So
very. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Ukrainians
the whole
are doing
Apple
fine.
Pay and all of that, especially and taking them off of taking Russia off SWIFT. That's insane.
Yeah, and
I mean, this is like unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Ukraine. I mean, it's also another thing. Like, people are like, is the war in like how is it actually going? It's like because some people say it's going, and I don't really know myself. Like some people are saying it's going good for Ukraine because it's not as the Russians are disorderly. You know, they got no fuel and whatever. You know, they're holding out in these different cities. But then again, overall, it's only been a week and Russia has taken quite a bit of land already.
Do you think they'll capitulate?
At this point, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't want to say anything like, but like, I kind of got hope for Ukraine. I kind
of
have.
Of course.
I'm saying, like, I think at this point they may have it. I don't think they're going to ever defeat the Russians, but like, I think Russia may just
give up.
Yeah. Cause like, what are they going to do? Like, send more troops and, you know, just waste all their manpower on Ukraine, you know, and for what? Just to get like, again, what's the fucking end game for Russia right now? They're going to get Ukraine. Let's say they're successful.
That's a big question. I mean,
yeah.
What do you think it is? What do you guys think it is?
Just more land.
Yeah. It's just purely, it's all about power. Yeah. I think it's just imperialist nonsense and it's dangerous.
Like, oh, it's fully Russia again.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, we were watching that video. You know, where the whole thing of like Putin saying, you know, Ukrainians and Russians are one people. Yeah, I'm sure he believes it, but I don't think that's his main goal. I don't think that's his main reason to invade Ukraine to unite the Slavic peoples. No, that's not it at all.
Well, this is definitely not a way to do that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we're going to still unite the Slavic peoples by
Even
invading
if you
our
do,
neighbors.
The people that survive, they don't agree with you.
Yeah. So yeah, it is a pure power move. But it's
your
just,
own people don't agree with you.
Yeah, it's just such a stupid move. It's like one of those things where like, yeah, this is like drunken, you know, drunken kung fu. Where like, he's just a stupid move, and like, he's got to have a plan or something. But like,
no one could figure it out.
Yeah, because like, this is the last thing he really should have done.
So check this out. It says this is a tweet from Glenn Greenwald. He retweeted what Michael McFaul tweeted. And Michael McFaul used to be the United States ambassador to Russia from 2012 to 2014. He's a academic, you know, former diplomat, Democrat. The original tweet, Michael McFaul says, "There are no more innocent, neutral Russians anymore. Everyone has to make a choice, support or oppose this war. Only way to end this war is if hundreds of thousands, not thousands, protest against a senseless war. Putin can't arrest you all."
Yeah.
And Glenn Greenwald says, "I think it's genuinely useful and illuminating when the people who run the U.S. and its foreign policy turn into Twitter pundits. Drop the mask of obfuscating State Department diplomatic language and let everyone know how they really think. And look how viral this vile tweet already is." I don't know. It's just the first sentence there is a little bit aggressive. Like, there are no more innocent and neutral.
Yeah, that's like
Russians anymore.
That's yeah, like, he's like you. That part he's essentially saying like, come after these people and like, hold.
They're
them.
They're not innocent.
Yeah, well,
as if they want to be in that position themselves.
That first line, it,
yeah,
I don't
it's also such a.
That.
It's like a similar to the whole like Bush false dichotomy. You're either with us, you know, against us, or
exactly.
So it's like, I mean, again, I get where he's coming from, but it's like, that wasn't a good beginner at all. But the rest of it, I think it is like, the Russians should, I'm not saying they should, obviously they have families and stuff to worry about, and this is an oligarchic state. Man. Yeah, but like, I mean, I think, I don't know how to take that tweet. I think it's mostly fine.
Glenn points out here as well. He says, Bin Laden's argument for why U.S. civilians were legit targets was they choose their leaders and thus are responsible for their acts. That was widely and accurately viewed as reprehensible. Even more odd to claim Putin is a totalitarian dictator, but all Russians are guilty, which is pretty much what this guy above that we just read earlier was saying.
Yeah, I mean, you can. Yeah, it's in a state like that, you can't. I mean, yeah, there are Russians that support Putin, but like, they're not like voting for him. I mean, they are, but it doesn't really matter, So like,
you got the Boris era good.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
we were here with Boris Johnson. Yeah,
you're Boris Johnson.
I'm the Turkish soul for Boris Johnson. Yeah,
just your hairs.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Boris or Boris? Yeah, I don't know.
Are we getting a little heavy? We're getting a, should we talk about something else? Hold on. Let's talk about the magnitude of Glenn Greenwald retweeting the podcast.
I thought I was
like doom scrolling because he didn't even tag us. And I hope he's listening because, it'd be cool to have him on the show. I emailed him.
Yeah.
I emailed him a week before he did this. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, look,
talk to Noam Chomsky.
We got Noam Chomsky. We'd love to have you on, please, because I know he's a huge Chomsky fan.
Maybe that was his way of saying, like, no thanks, but here you go.
Maybe. I don't know if he got the email or what, but I think he might have found it on his own accord.
Yeah.
And just listened to it, which is cool. That means Glenn Greenwald listened to our podcast.
Yeah. But that must mean, but it's also hard to get a hold of him, too.
Yeah.
Because he's doing so many things.
No, he's doing some amazing reporting right now. But to be a part of it was honestly like kind of an honor.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. I was doom scrolling. Yeah. And suddenly my eyes like lit up. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
His posts were so good the night before. I remember I was like reading through them. And I was like, man, it was really late at night. And I was like, I can't wait till the morning to read his tweets. Cause I mean, he's really been making some strong arguments against like the, against the media narrative of this, which is what I'm most critical of. Obviously. Yeah. I mean, that's my biggest problem is the warmongering that's going on right now. I know I'm like kind of sound like I'm harsh on Zelensky, but it's really just the narrative that's being like
portrayed.
Manufacturing consent for, it's like this big advertising campaign for the last 3 months of like, oh, there's going to be a war, and like, what were we coming towards? What are we headed towards still currently? Why is this still happening? Are we headed towards, nuclear annihilation potentially?
Yeah. Which is something no one wants.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, it's hard to say because at this point, like, because I used to like actually defend Russia a lot and like at least to a certain extent, but like, I don't know. At this point, I'm kind of done with it. Like,
Russia in terms of the state?
No, not like it's like domestic actions, but like in terms of like, I don't know, like in terms of like countering American imperialism in the world. I mean, obviously, Russia's always been a bad, oligarchic, country. Same with China. But like, I would at least like try to understand it from like, countering American power and all that. But like, at this point, I'm kind of done, as much as we critique the West and stuff, I don't know. This alliance of like oligarchic states, it's like kind of just tiring, same with China, same with Iran. Like, American hegemonic power is very hypocritical and also very guilty and stuff, but like, it's not the same. It's just not the same. So like, yeah, there's propaganda in the West, but there's propaganda and like Russian propaganda, like, dude, like that's,
it is true
that like Russian, this Chomsky and stuff, like state controlled media is obviously, at least you can see the propaganda on the surface. You can at least know where the propaganda is coming from.
Are you saying Russian propaganda?
Yeah. Like at least,
just propaganda in general.
With the West, it's a little bit hard to discern propaganda because it's so, it comes off naturally, and at least, with state-owned media and stuff like that, especially Russian propaganda, you at least know that it's the Russian guy, you know that's what Putin wants.
Yeah, you're talking about RT, right?
Yeah, RT. Yeah.
How do you feel about Google? I want to ask Zach this question after you, but how do you feel about Google, YouTube specifically, taking RT off of YouTube or banning RT.
I don't agree with it at all because it's like an insight of information of what's going on. It's like now that that's gone, you don't know. You only got
1%,
what's from our perspective now.
Yeah.
As a news source, which is like not even half of what's going on. So you're only being given so much information. You could probably get more information from people that are in bunkers with YouTube channels showing you what's going on that are actually in Ukraine.
Yeah, like
you can
true.
Get more information from that, which is what I've been looking at now that I can't watch RT. And that's another thing too, is like some one of the YouTubers that I like, I can't remember his name.
Are you talking about the Metallica guy?
Yeah.
We should pull up his name so we can.
Yeah, he's been popping off with this stuff going on.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for that guy, and I watch all of his videos.
Yeah.
Like, his name is before we continue, I'm sorry if you're listening and I pronounce your name wrong. Andriy Vasilenko.
Andriy Vasilenko?
I think so.
Yeah, that guy is a huge Metallica fan, and so am I. And like, he posts great videos, and I feel so bad for him, like as an individual and his family, and the situation that he's in. Like, I don't know him, but kind of feels like I know him, you know? Because there's an admiration for the person.
Yeah.
Creating content.
He completely switched his channel from doing Metallica like type riffs to now documenting. Like, he's a journalist now.
Yeah.
A wartime journalist.
Yeah. And not intentionally. It wasn't a career choice he chose. It's just like the situation that he got put in, and you know.
I hope he makes it.
That's what I care about the most. Isn't like the politics or the propaganda. It's just like the innocent people that are in the crosshairs of what the fuck's going on, and they don't have a say or a choice. Or it's like, it's either flee the country and go to Poland, or here's a gun and fight.
Yeah. Well, some of them aren't. They have to fight.
At least they have to. They're not even allowed to leave.
Yeah.
You know, or hide in a bunker.
Yeah.
And I saw a video today of this person that was like doing what the Metallica guy was doing. And he was posting something online, probably on Twitter, who knows. And then a missile strike hits the building. This happened today, like umpteen hours ago. And the building collapses, and he manages to survive. But he got it all on film.
Yeah.
That in itself is just really surreal to see. Like, you won't see that on the news. I mean, you will, like, from a far distance or a news reporter
You'll have some pundit talking over it.
Yeah.
Distracting from, like, the reality of it.
Yeah.
It just, in terms of, like... Yeah, the RT stuff is a little bit, I don't know if I agree with the RT stuff, but like, you know, them being banned off YouTube. I don't even know about that, but I don't know. I think RT used to be good, if I'm being honest, like years ago. But like, I think they're horrible now, if I'm being honest. I don't like RT at all.
What makes you say that?
Because over the years, at first, they like it seemed like they were doing objective reporting, and then it became like really clear of their Russian bias. I haven't seen RT for a while, so maybe they changed. But like,
I mean, there's obviously a Russian bias, but
I think
that's interesting is how often they call out the United States on their inconsistencies.
Well, I mean, well, again, well, because they're going to. I mean, it's RT. And again, that's fine. And like, for example, for state-run media, like, you know, BBC and Al Jazeera aren't great, but they're generally better than RT. You know, RT is incredibly, like, it's, of course, they're going to call it the U.S. They're RT, for God's sake. You know,
that's true.
So, like, I mean, it's a necessary voice. I think that's important. That's why I don't know if I agree with them being got off YouTube. But like, I think that they're a necessary voice to a certain extent. But the main point that I really want to make is like, I'm just kind of tired of like at this point, like if I just kind of want Russia to collapse, I suppose, like at least like Putin and stuff like that. Because like, I'm so tired of this like Cold War 2.0 kind of thing.
Oh, it's just starting, dude.
Well, it's just starting. Well, I don't know, man.
It is just starting.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like Russia.
Buckle up.
No, I'm just saying Russia's move is so stupid. Like with China, that can go on forever. With Russia, maybe if we can get over the nuclear threat, if something happens with Putin, like I hope to God it just ends, because like, I'm so tired of like, I don't know. I'm just tired of it. You know,
stupid decisions like that is what causes a war.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just saying that like if we can get over that, if for some reason just Russia can't do this and nuclear, you know,
hopefully that's the best scenario, is that Russia runs out of fuel and all of the things, all of the resources, and then just goes back.
And that might be too good to be true.
In a perfect world.
In a perfect world.
Well, I mean, who knows? Who knows? And if they do succeed in every, you know, everything, then if Ukraine's under their power, then hopefully the consequences of the action are enough. But
if that was to happen, do you think? No, never mind. I'm not even going to say.
No, say it.
I was like, do you think Ukrainians would retaliate?
Attack Russia?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe.
If they knew that they were out of resources and out of stuff.
I have no. I mean, that's a possibility.
That's a good question.
That's a thing that's happened historically all the time. Is like that, you know, revenge. Like
you just came here and destroyed our land.
Yeah,
that's like.
And the thing
let's
is,
go get them.
If Ukraine really does have those right wing guys all over, and they do, that is a possibility. So that's a good point.
That's a good question.
That may happen.
Hypothetically, I don't want that to happen. Yeah, I don't want anyone.
I think we would have to. We would have to like wait and see when the dust settled.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to come out of that situation. Not angry, but also that gets into the question of like, was there provocation on the border? Yeah. You know,
Ukraine did not
from both sides.
I do not think Ukraine would provoke, not at all. I don't think that makes any sense. Like the thing is, like,
what if they got backed?
What?
What if they got backed?
I mean, they got backed by the West. Think
if, yeah.
Well, I mean, in that case, but obviously the West is not sending in troops.
What do you mean? If Ukraine was being backed?
Yeah, if after Russia fled and then Ukraine finally got backed by military resources that they've been asking for this whole time.
It'd be over with. I mean, we'd find ourselves in dust is what would happen.
Well, yeah, I don't think the West would back. If anything, I actually think maybe Ukrainian Belarusian conflict is probably more likely because it's a smaller scale war.
Yeah.
And Belarus, you know, is... You know, Lukashenko and his crazy ass. So, I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting for Putin to just like kick the dust, I guess, like, or kick the bucket, whatever the term is. I don't know. Cause like, yeah, I mean, the West sucks, but like,
I don't know. I mean, it depends. Like, a lot of people see this as like, what would happen if they did retreat, or Putin did kick the dust.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's say we go back to where it was, you know, a week and a half ago. But that same geographical setup, but post war after all of this, and no post attack, you know, in retaliation.
Yeah.
What would happen is likely racism would increase because of that. If there was no direct retaliation in a militant sense, you would have like extreme racism along that border and probably the rest of the country. I mean, even you listen to the guy we were just talking about, the Metallica YouTuber guy. Mm-hmm. He's not being racist, but you can hear that he has anger. And I'm not
rightfully
saying he's
so.
Rightfully. Yeah. His home, you know, he's lost his home. So inevitably it's human nature to feel angry, but then also we're just going to get back to latency again, if that's the case. So, I mean, I'm noticing this repeatedly along these like judgments you're making, Ashik, is like you're looking for a liberal like haven. You just want latency. You want Fukuyama all the time.
Well, the thing is, I'm because like there is a reality, for example, of like if Russia were to kick, you know, whatever, lose, you know, and then NATO at this point would probably join the EU because it's like accepted at this point. Like, yeah, Russia at that point would feel even more isolated than it is now.
Yeah.
Even if Putin's government wasn't in place, and like it would just be, you know, probably even worse the situation. I'm just saying that like if I'm looking for latency, then yes, because I am tired of it. Like I am super tired of like dude, because like looking at Russia's history from like when the Soviet Union fell and how it just kind of risen back to the forefront, like it's just stupid. And like,
why?
Because it's just...
You sound like a liberal right now.
Well, I am at this point. I'm not saying I am, but like
you want a unipolar liberal world that's dominated by United States hegemon. That's what you want. That's what you've had for the last 30 years. And this is where we ended up with that. So where are you going to go?
It's more complicated than that, I think. A U.S. hegemonic world is not ideal at all. It's not at all. But again, if this sounds liberal, then it is. But like... in the past I would have, and maybe to a certain extent I do want a balance, I suppose. I do want not a policed world. That's the ideal, really. It's a, you know, there's no hegemony. It's a little bit more, you know, idealized UN kind of scenario. Maybe a sort of, you know, a balance of powers between, you know, a sort of not a cold war, but a dichotomy. That might have been okay. But the thing is, like, but clearly one side is just clearly worse. And like,
you're talking about
Russia and China and like that entire, and again,
you've got to be kidding me, right?
No, but let me
you've got to be kidding me.
Let me explain. It's not that these countries support the ideology of dictatorships in a sense because they so love fascism and authority. It's a power grab, right? And the West does the same thing in a much more quote unquote nuanced way.
In a subversive,
In a subversive way.
They bleed them out from behind, from up front. That's the difference.
I get it. But the thing is,
and in a more massive scale too. So
In a more massive scale, but not in the terms of cons. For God's sakes, dude,
China has a no first use policy. Yes, I agree. Russia refused that. However, they likely refuse that because the United States refused to take that.
Again, I'm not excusing America's actions. I'm just saying that, like, it's just tiring. Like, dude, like, we don't got, I mean, it does sound super liberal to me, and I know, and I understand that, but it, like, to a certain extent, like, dude, for example, like, China has literal camps in Turkestan. We don't. We do support countries that do stuff like that. That's without question. Saudi Arabia and the rest of them, right? They're not camps, but, you know, they have their own genocidal actions and stuff like that.
Right.
So I'm not excusing America, but I'm just saying at least for the sake of living in these countries, maybe not so much America, but at least maybe for Europe, at least in terms of the comfortability of human life in these countries, I'd rather have a U.S.-backed hegemony. Not that I would want it. I don't want it. I don't want it at all.
You were just saying you'd prefer that over...
I would prefer that
what's
over...
What's going on now?
Well, it's complicated. I would, to a certain degree, like a sort of counter to U.S. imperialism, if that's the best thing we can do. Obviously, I wouldn't want any police state. World police. I wouldn't want any superpower to have any sort of control over this. I wouldn't want that at all. The next best thing, maybe a sort of balance of power, at least in sort of like, if it's not going nuclear, then maybe it's fine, at least for whatever. But I do think, again, one side is clearly worse, at least in terms of human life. One side supports things that are just as bad. But at least for God's sake, I can be an American now. And again, it sounds terrible for me to say that because it's not my real position. But I'm just tired.
I just don't see how you can make that argument when you take into account the last... Since World War II.
U.S. has, again...
You're really making the argument that China has a worse humanitarian rap than the United States.
In terms... Okay, I'm talking about, like, right now. In terms of history, no, hell no. Like, U.S. has done more. But it's one of the situations... It's just a situation where it's like... It's not that I want the U.S. to win. It's more like I don't want these other countries to do what they're doing either. It's not that I want the U.S. to continue... bombing brown countries and doing whatever. But I'm saying there is, how should I say this? At least within the West, I think there can be a healthy way to change that. If in fact very impossible with the way our own oligarchy functions, it's incredibly difficult. But at least that's perhaps a healthier way than little to no possible change at all in China, unless you're getting like full-on revolution or something like that, right? At least within the Western paradigm, there is a route to peaceful change.
Well, where do you get the idea that China would want a homogenous authoritarian state? Were they the world police, or would they be like how they've exhibited, where they're pretty nationalistic and also non-confrontational with the no first use policy?
Where do you get that idea?
You're peddling the mainstream media CNN points about what China actually is. Yes, they do have authoritarian regime, and they do have human rights abuses.
Yeah,
that's true. But for the most part, when it comes to foreign policy, they've for the most part,
and that's that was my earlier point. That was my earlier point. Is like China is not like these countries support the ideology of, like, they're not like, you know. And the same goes for the United States to a certain degree. It's not like these countries are supporting different ideologies for the sake of ideology. It's not the first Cold War. It's real politics. It's to a certain extent what works for them. Who's, you know, again, like the U.S. can support quote unquote democracy in this country and quote unquote a dictatorship here, and China can do this certainly the same. I'm just saying, at least within the countries themselves, I think it's important, because at least within a semi-democratic country like the U.S., which again is very high emphasis on the semi,
right,
that is a much better route to take than the existence of a very powerful power like China, which may or may not support dictatorships, but the mere fact that they can't support a dictatorship and there is no way within the country to change that is a worse option than America, which does the same thing, but at least there is some chance for them to change the thing
through a democratic process. There is.
But it's clearly a better and more likely chance than anything happening in China. Like, there is no way there's not going to be a democratic process, or the only way China's going to change is if the state wants it to change. If they think not supporting bad governments is going to help them, that's what they're going to do. But that's not coming from an authentic source. With the U.S., that's not coming from an authentic source either. But at least our democratic process is very fucking flawed, but at least there's a slim fucking chance it's better. And at least we don't have, like, camps inside the country, which, again, we
Southern borders.
Countries.
Southern borders Southern, is a concentration
It's not
camp.
The same as East Turkestan. It
yeah,
is
they,
terrible.
They may not be castrating people, but...
Again, and it's terrible.
They're starving people.
It's terrible. But again, I think there is just enough of a difference. Again, not that I want the America to take over the world or anything like that. It's just, I am tired of countries like Russia and China just doing what they are doing.
That's, I feel like I'm
I think that when you say you're tired of China doing what they're doing outside of the human rights abuses to the Uyghurs, they have
it's
been nothing but trying to expand their economy and being totalitarian or authoritarian to
that's
their own
enough.
People.
That's enough to be me. I mean, again, it's mostly with Russia, with what's happening right now.
But there's not much difference here.
I don't know. I think there is. I just think there is. Like, yeah, we do a lot of the same stuff. Again, I'm not excusing America's actions at all. I'm also tired of America's actions.
It's just a different type of authoritarian. It looks familiar here.
It's not. There is not the same authoritarian style. They are both. Like, look, Joe Biden's not a dictator. He's an He's in a way,
No, I'm not saying Joe Biden.
You know, I'm not saying. I know. I'm just
saying. Like,
there is a clear difference. Do actions prove words? Yes, but I'm just saying. At least with the U.S., you can have a relatively change.
Consistent. You can say things bad about the government here.
Yeah.
For instance, I'll give you that.
But not just that, but like you can, for example, elect someone. Like you can
on a state level.
You can take action here to make change, which might be incredibly difficult. That might never ever come because of the way America is structured right now. But at least you can do that without getting shot. And there is a slim chance. You can vote for someone. As fucked up as our election system is, there can be a way for someone to get elected still. Yeah. If again, it's not like no one's there controlling the ballot boxes.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So
with
I'm
you
just
on
saying,
that.
Trump.
Like again, if
from the point of view of the democratic process, yeah, I agree. The democratic process, although it seems to be pretty geared towards the political class in America, there is a chance that something could happen.
Yeah,
slim pickings.
Like at least it's presented as though and. I think if there was enough public movement, you could have it. But that's not going to happen. At least it's not happening anytime. Like if there's a sympathetic administration and a lot of public organization, you can have that happen. But it hasn't happened in a long time. And there is no chance of that happening in China. That's for sure. And I don't know, maybe in Russia, but not really. Maybe more likely than China.
More likely in Russia, but no,
yeah,
not,
yeah, more
not,
likely
not,
in Russia
not
than
really
China.
Really, either, but more likely at least.
But still, there's this immobility when it comes to change here, because instead of having people under their thumb, the system is like focus on buying things, focus on being an individual. Like the hyper individualism makes it so that they don't have to be. Like that. Yeah. So in a different way, you get all these gadgets and stuff from your Best Buy and you go out to have dinner and live a lavish life at the expense of other countries' resources. But it's like a passive authoritarianism to a certain extent because that immobilizes people from wanting any sense of progression.
I mean, yeah and no, because like we've gotten to a certain point where like we're not like the American people aren't complete. I mean, they're complicit to a certain degree, but like we've reached a point where, yeah, people do want change to a certain degree, to what they know change is. But another thing is, like, I feel like it's much different to talk about these issues in the United States, where we get so like caught up in this kind of stuff of like, you know, first world problems kind of thing. But like, dude, like it's a whole different story there. You know, like, dude, we're not, and like, this is goes not just to China, but like, it goes like Saudi Arabia and shit too. But like, we're not like fucking killing, you know, some people are, you know, to a certain degree. We're not like fucking killing, you know, whole, you know, populations of people, you know, because of religious identity or whatever. Or we're not throwing gays off roofs.
What are you talking about?
We're not throwing gays off
roofs. Yes, we are.
Dude, we're again, it's not to the same degree.
The native population.
In the
less,
past.
Less than 100 years ago.
I'm talking about right now. Yes, the Japanese internment camps. These are all true. I'm talking about right now. Okay, and yes, we're still doing things that fuck them over. We're still, like, we're doing cultural genocide. I agree with that. I'm just saying, to the level, to the extent of it, like, we're not throwing gays off roofs. And again, this is not me excusing the United States. It's just me trying to put a perspective. Like, I think there is, like, we can't, like, in our critique of America, we shouldn't throw away our critique of those other countries. I know you're not. I know you're not doing that. But I just think, like, there is becomes a point where, like, we can treat these issues as separate, to a certain degree, separate issues. Like, it's just not the same. I just don't think there's, it's not the same in situations. Like, not just China, not these like super powerful countries, but like smaller dictatorships and whatnot too. It's just, I don't think it's the same. I'd rather have, it sounds like I'm making an excuse, but I'm not. I'd rather have a passive dictatorship with a slim chance of betterment than something that's completely fucked, you know? And again, that doesn't mean I'm excusing America or anything. It's just, when I say, I'm just going back to my main point of, like, I'm tired of this, is like, if it's gonna take the failing of aggressive nations like Russia, which I think is worse to a certain degree, I think they do have some domestic policies that are better than the United States. Great, whatever. But like, if it's gonna take that, and for some reason a U.S. hegemonic system open, well, that's gonna fucking suck. Is there a slim chance? Hopefully, if it's hegemonic, probably less so. But I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't know.
No, I think you're right to a certain extent, you know.
Because we just talk about, like, you know, like, I agree with you a lot with this whole capitalistic stuff, but like, dude, it's a whole different story. You know, it's just a whole different story where, like, you know, I don't know. We're not getting shot and like kidnapped in Hong Kong, you know, alert.
Yeah, yeah. You know, not overtly.
Like, yeah.
Not as frequently. Yeah, not, as again, there's,
and I think degree is an important point though. Like, if we can protest what goes on the border, and yes, we can do something about it, and hopefully vote someone or people that can actually facilitate that. And again, it's going to be difficult with how we work, but you can't do that in China and like, or Russia and like, I don't know. I don't know. And there's also, we're talking about America, by the way. It's a much, you know, it's a lot looser in Europe. They're not
for now,
either, but
we should take a break.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you guys want to take a break?
Yeah, we'll be right back.
And we're back with our thoughts tonight.
We're back.
So, our final thoughts. What is your final thought, Ashok?
What is my final thought? Oh, dude, the meme subreddit is so good right now. At least it was, like, when it first started. Dude, hilarious memes. Hilarious memes.
Which one?
Just like straight up r/memes. It's just funny. I don't know. I guess I'm trying to think of something, but it's like, you know, first, you know, we got those forest fires and we had COVID. We got the, you know, the riots and stuff here, and then now we got the
Capitol stormed.
Yeah, and but this has been going for a while, you know. All, you know, 2008 Iraq War, ISIS, Syria War, whatever, Yemen. I guess it just sucks. Just, you know, hopefully Ukraine survives this, and hopefully they rebuild, you know, without falling into more crap. So, yeah.
My final thought is, I hope people get to safety wherever they're going, to Poland, and find shelter, and everyone's okay to some certain degree. I hope Russia falls back and see where it goes from there. yeah, this is horrible in itself. So, yeah, that's it.
I would say for my final thought, you know, it's awful, the imperialist actions of the Russian state. He's got no justification for it. And I hope Ukraine can pull out of it, honestly, and alive and minimal casualties. No. I mean, this is something that we haven't seen in a long time, and in at this
magnitude.
Not necessarily this magnitude, but in this, it has like a, because we've seen wars before, but you know, we haven't seen something that could escalate to a massive war like this, I don't think, in a long time. So it's pretty terrifying, but I think it's just the beginning of a major, or I don't even want to say the beginning. The second Cold War has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think it's really making itself apparent now, and it's only the beginning of what it is really going to be. So it'll be interesting to watch, and there's probably going to be a lot of stuff to write about. And I'm starting to kind of gear towards, you know, trying to do some more journalistic stuff personally on here, if we can score some more interviews, and also on my YouTube channel. So be sure to follow us on Twitter. I'll put the link for that in the description below, and we'll have Sean lead us out.
Oh yeah.
Our thoughts tonight.
Our thoughts tonight.
Our thoughts tonight.
Oh, to write a song that has no meaning at all, that doesn't touch a personal nerve or heed a social call, that knows no up or down, that has no right or wrong, that doesn't need a reason to waste some time with song, just like that old time rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll, and I'll sing ba 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 ba, whoa whoa whoa. Oh, to sing a song that doesn't let it all hang out, that doesn't wave any flag or have any slogan to shout, that knows no east or west, that has no left or right, that doesn't throw any stones or look for any fight, just like that old time rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll, and I sing ba-bop, shabop, ben, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just to write a song that won't mend a broken heart, that won't woo you like a lover or promise a brand new start, that doesn't preach of rain and fire or heed any higher call, that doesn't need a reason to mean nothing at all, just like that old time rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll, and I sing ba-bop, shabop, ben, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just like that old time rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll, and I sing ba-bop, shabop, ben, whoa, whoa, whoa. Ba-bop, shabop, ben, whoa, whoa, whoa. Ba-bop, shabop, ben, whoa, whoa, whoa.